Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. With us now is Mira Zoshi, the new taxi and limousine commissioner for New York City. We'll talk about yellow cabs, green cabs, even cabs with pink mustaches. Those are the cars from the ride-sharing startup called Lyft that's having trouble lifting off in New York City. Mira Zoshi, welcome to WNYC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And before we get to some of these particulars, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit? You served as general counsel at the Taxi and Limousine Commission before this, I know. So I guess you're not a new face around there, though you may be a new name to much of the public.
Yes, that's true. I joined the Taxi and Limousine Commission in September of 2011 as their general counsel. Prior to that, I worked with the city. I think I started with the city in 2002, more in law enforcement and criminal justice. I was inspector general under Department of Investigations, inspector general for the Department of Corrections. So I headed a unit that investigated every allegation of corruption that sprung from the Department of Corrections, and I was first deputy executive director at the Civilian Complaint Review Board, and we were responsible for investigating every allegation of police misconduct under sort of four delineated categories.
I assume I should resist the temptation, based on your answer, to ask you either about Eric Garner on Staten Island or about corrections officer brutality against mentally ill inmates at Rikers, because you won't answer anyway, right?
Yes, I read the papers in the last day. It was my life flashing before my eyes.
Is this like a walk in the park compared to your old jobs? It's just taxis.
No, it's not. It's a ride in the park. But it has elements of, working for the city, there's certain similarities when you go from job to job. But what's particularly interesting about being with the Taxi and Limousine Commission is that you have there's a private industry that we regulate. So there's lots of freedoms or market forces out there that are, we watch, but we don't necessarily get involved in every minutia of them, which is very different than being in law enforcement where you're in control of the employee's every action.
So listeners, taxi drivers, if you have a question for the newly or recently installed Taxi and Limousine Commission Chief, 212-433-WNYC, drivers of any color taxi or taxis with any color mustache, 212-433-9692, riders or anyone else, 212-433-WNYC. And I want to get to the potential news that you might make here today, which is that Lyft, the ride-sharing startup, their president was on the show last week. This, for people who don't know it, this sort of peer-to-peer service that was meant to launch in Queens and Brooklyn a couple of weeks ago, but your agency was involved in sending a cease and desist order to the company because you said they didn't present evidence that they were going to sufficiently train their drivers or have enough insurance to meet city standards. But here's a clip of John Zimmer, the head of Lyft, on our show last week. And he was talking about negotiations with the TLC that he thinks are going to come to yes. Listen.
We're talking with all the parties, and we too are optimistic that we can all come together as we have in many other cities. I think oftentimes, when there's something new, there needs to be that dialogue, and both sides are at the table, and both sides, are working hard to get somewhere that works.
So are you at the table with Lyft trying to work out an agreement under which this peer-to-peer ride-sharing company can start in New York?
We're absolutely talking with them. They have presented us, initially they came to us with a model that does not fit within our regulatory system. And we have a lot of faith in the regulatory system that we have and its ability to embrace new technology. We have launched an e-hail pilot, so drivers, taxi passengers can now hail a taxi through their iPhone. They can pay for a taxi through their smartphone. FHVs, for the most part now, are not dispatched the old-fashioned way by radio and by telephone. They're dispatched by app. So we are definitely embrace new technology, but the new technology must fit within our established regulation, which serves a tremendous public policy purpose. It's the safety of the passengers, so the vehicle must be safe and the driver must be appropriately vetted. So to the extent that, you know, and we always talk to, you know, new businesses that come in and want to know how they can work within New York City. So we are open to, you know, some ideas about how our process can be streamlined a little bit or a lot. And we're happy to sort of have those discussions with Lyft, and we've been having those discussions with Lyft, and I do think we will continue to have those discussions with Lyft. But in terms of actually changing the framework, the basic tenets of our regulatory structure, that part's not up for negotiation. So I do think there's room for Lyft in New York City, and there will be some changes made, you know, probably more on Lyft's part than the city's, for Lyft to operate here. But there definitely won't be a change to the fundamental tenets of our regulatory structure.
You're listening to WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, New York and New Jersey Public Radio. Brian Lehrer with you, with the head of the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission, Mira Zoshi. And let's take a phone call. Craig in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, good morning, Brian, for you and your guests. A quick question is, I found it real hard to get a TLC license. I'm a person that committed felonies in the 90s and the 89. Since then, I haven't been in any trouble with the law. But to be an American citizen and get a TLC license compared to somebody that came into the country like 2 years ago who doesn't have the history with me or my background is so easy to check, it's real hard. Like, I had to file paperwork, get paperwork, then write out statements saying exactly what the court transcript already said. It's just like big hurdles to overcome.
And are you being denied explicitly because you had a felony in your background?
Well, I'm not being denied. I'm being extra scrutinized. The New York City one is, I drive Amulet. So you have to have it for the Nassau. So I did it, and it was extra scrutinized. For New York, it's even more harder and just because of these felonies. And I'm like, I see neighbors of mine who have TLC license who haven't even been in the country 3 years. And, I don't know if they have a particular history, but I know because I have a history and it's easy verified.
You're getting all the scrutiny. So Commissioner Zoshi, what is the standard for an individual to be licensed, in addition to be able to pass the driving test, to drive a New York City taxi of any kind? And where does past criminal history come into it?
Well, you have to have no outstanding traffic violations, no child support payments. You must pass a drug test. You must be 21 or older. You must go, if it's a taxi license, taxi school, which has a taxi school test at the end, as well as English proficiency. And in terms of past criminal history, we follow the structure in the state corrections law. So if there are convictions that we think might impact on your ability to safely transport passengers, we have what's called a fitness review process. And that may be what you're referring to when you said extra scrutiny. That's an interview process where we'll talk to people about their history to understand a little bit about whether or not there will be an impact on whether they can safely transport people.
Do you see the job of taxi driver as being one of the great assimilators in New York, if that's the right word, or steps on the ladder of opportunity for immigrants?
Definitely. I also see it as a chance to, even if it's a job that you come into, because there are some there's lower thresholds to entry than sort of other standard professions. So you can do it part-time, you can do it full-time, it can supplement income, it can supplement your income while you're going to school, and it can also be a stepping stone to either, you know, they're much pricier now, probably more true years ago, but owning your own medallion or now owning your own green taxi license.
Well, let me ask you about the medallions, because when we were talking about Lyft before, I think essentially both Lyft and Uber are trying to get around the medallion system, medallions that can cost more than $1 million each. And so when you said before that even if you come to a yes with Lyft to operate in New York City, that the existing regulatory structure will remain in place, are medallions a part of that, and the requirement to pay the city, you know, a ton of money in order to legally operate a car?
Yes, we have. I think we offer a variety. I mean, the New York City for-hire transportation market is very unique. First of all, just I think it's important to understand what it is in terms of volume. So Lyft, I know, has offered 10 million rides since they started. We do about 1 million rides a day, so we do 10 million rides in 10 days. And we have a variety of services. Yellow taxi cabs are part of them, but there's yellow taxi cabs, there's green taxi cabs, there's lux limos, there's paratransit, there's commuter vans, there's traditional liveries, and there's black cars. So within the regulatory framework, sounds really confining, but when you look at all of those choices, you realize it's actually not very confining, because if you want to enter the for-hire market, you don't have to enter the yellow taxi market. You can enter the black car market or the livery car market. There are other ways, and both of those markets are uncapped in terms of the number of cars that are permitted in that market, as opposed to the yellow and even the green taxis, where there is a finite number of medallions and licenses to be issued.
So why shouldn't, and maybe your answer indicates we're heading in this direction, but why shouldn't the role of government be simply to establish safety and quality standards for drivers of any for-hire vehicle and leave the rest up to the market?
And I'm glad you asked that question, because that's, you know, exactly what we do. We establish what we believe is things that the market won't correct for in terms of a safety standard, as well as standards having to do with discrimination and accessibility. And then we don't play a role in how big the pieces of the pie each market takes. That is really up to the passenger.
Then where do the medallions and the charges for the medallions come in at all into that system? You know, one could look at that and say, well, that's just extortion by the city government.
The medallions are auctioned, so the price is set by the highest bidder, right? There's no set price that the city will set an upset price, but if they don't sell for that, then the mm-hmm. city would have to lower the upset price. But what you see is what sets New York so far apart from so many other cities is that we have a really strong yellow passenger following in Manhattan, you know, in particular. And there's been lots of changes to the for-hire industry over the years. Radios came out of taxis. Credit card, you know, standardized credit card GPS technology was put into taxis. E-hail is here. FHVs using apps is here. But we don't see a statistically significant change in the volume of yellow taxi trips in the fare box, which seems to indicate there is a core group of people that are unchanged, that doesn't change over time, that depend on using their hand in the street to hail a taxi.
Shiv in Manhattan. You're on WNYC with the TLC Commissioner, Mira Joshi. Hello.
Hello, Brian. Good morning. Good morning, Commissioner. My question is, when is the city enforcement people going to do something about the private cars that are operating in Midtown during the afternoon and evening hours? I have not seen, and I've been out there for more than 32 years driving, I have not seen not once any of these cars being pulled over by anybody that concerns law enforcement.
You're talking about cars that are not in any of these systems that the commissioner was laying out, but pure gypsy cars, not in the system at all, just pulling over and picking people up?
Yes, sir, and charging them enormous prices, and they hold the tourists hostage. I mean, $20, $25 to go five blocks and 10 blocks.
So that's a problem. There's a lot of them competing with you out there, you feel.
Well, it's not just competition. They're ripping people off, Brian.
Shiv, thank you for your call. Commissioner,
that's a great question. And I assume you drive a yellow taxi, but correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm here for 32 years driving a yellow taxi.
So what you see is, unlicensed people illegally picking up hails on the street. And we vigilantly enforce against them. Reluctant, it's unfortunate that you haven't seen that, but we pick up about 700 cars that are illegally providing hails a month. And that means we seize those cars and the person can't get them back until they've paid a hefty fine. So, and we issue summonses of at least double that amount to people that are driving those cars. So, but it brings up the point of, when you raise the point of that tourists often get ripped off, that is one of the fundamental parts of the regulatory framework, and that's consumer protection. So that in the yellow and in the greens, we set the fares, and in the liveries, you at least have to have your fare schedule on file with us, and that way you have some place for redress if you're overcharged.
In fact, the local news website DNA Info has a story today about Taxi and Limousine Commission inspectors. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but many people may not realize that these inspectors have the power to seize a vehicle if they suspect it's operating as an illegal cab. But the reporting characterizes some of these stops as overzealous, as 20% of the cases are dismissed by tribunal judges, including drivers who could prove that their passengers were just family members or friends or neighbors. So why do you think so many of these stops are being dismissed? The news site profile, for example, a man who was picking up his pregnant wife and had his car seized, and another driver who was volunteering to take nuns to JFK when his van was taken. So do you have a problem on that front?
It's a small percentage of dismissals when you look at the overall volume, which is pretty tremendous, of the summonses and seizures that we're doing every month. But you also have to keep in mind that these are unfortunate circumstances. Over 80% of ours are upheld, but these are in-the-street moment decisions and car stops are they can be highly volatile situations. So it's not the job of the inspector to adjudicate in the street. They issue the summons, they seize the vehicle, and then a separate entity that's not part of the TLC does the adjudication.
But they have to have some reasonable suspicion, obviously. Can you confirm the 20% dismissal rate?
We have an 80% are upheld, and I can confirm the 20% dismissal rate. It doesn't account for the number that are actually settled, because the vast majority of these are settled and don't actually go to a hearing. So of those that go to the hearing, 20% are dismissed.
Before you go, I want to touch on both the green cabs and the so-called taxi of tomorrow. On the Taxi of Tomorrow program, I know they're looking at changes. Mayor de Blasio had opposed that plan the way Mayor Bloomberg rolled it out under his administration, giving near-exclusive yellow cab rights to Nissan and a particular model of vehicle that's supposed to be the standard for the future. It's going through the courts. And last month, an appellate judge ruled that the city did not overstep its bounds in mandating a uniform vehicle for cabs. So do you and Mayor de Blasio have a position on that, and is this changing?
We're in the process of reviewing what the next steps should be, and we do, today the Taxi of Tomorrow is an authorized vehicle. There's about 375 on the road now. I don't know if anybody's seen them. They're the ones with the panoramic roof. And the initial feedback is very positive, and that's coming from sort of three often divergent groups, but Medallion owners like it for the price point as well as the warranty. Drivers like it because it's comfortable and has a very good seat for those that are driving for long hours. And passengers are very positive about the space and the interior space in the back. So we're looking forward to the accessible version that should be available in September, and that should go a long way to helping us get to our 50% accessible goal on the yellow taxi side.
Why have a uniform vehicle, though, for the taxi fleet? And again, similar to my question earlier about standards for operating, why shouldn't there be a city standard in terms of amenities and accessibility and safety, and then let the fleets buy any model of car that they choose that meets those?
And it's really two ways of going about the same thing. Oftentimes, when you set exacting standards for safety and amenities and space, you end up, it turns out that there's not that many vehicles that actually fit that spec. And historically, although people followed a spec, it was always tailored after one vehicle. So, for example, the Crown Victoria, which, you know, ruled the taxi world for many years, the spec, the TLC set the specification, but only one vehicle met that specification. It was the Ford Crown Victoria. So it's two way, you know, there's two ways, but you generally get to the same place when you have what is not just an exacting but the appropriate standard for amenities and safety. You generally only have one or two cars that are going to meet that standard.
And how about the Green Cab program, which is still being rolled out for all the areas outside of the Manhattan Business District? Basically, Mayor de Blasio ran as an opponent of it. Is the administration softening on that, or are you looking at changing the Green Cab system?
We are planning to sell the next group of green taxi licenses starting in August. And what I think will be a little different about this, it already is a little different about the green taxi program under Mayor de Blasio, is there's a lot more engagement with the community and with the industry on what's working and what's not working. So, for example, we spent the last month having sort of town hall style meetings in every borough to get feedback from drivers and passengers in advance of selling another 6,000 green taxis. But what we see is that they've grown, the number of trips per day has grown, and the spread of service has also grown. So I anticipate with the addition of more taxis, we'll see an increase both in the geographic spread of service as well as the trip volume.
You know, I have a couple of indications from people in the industry who I've spoken to, including a personal experience getting into a green cab and being asked, do you want to negotiate a fee or pay the meter? That's going on a lot, partly because the green cab drivers, from what I'm told, are having some customer satisfaction problems in areas around the city where people used to take the, you know, the black livery cars and
right,
feel a little sticker shock when they get out and see the meter for whatever that typical local ride was that they took. And so informally, a probably illegal but hybrid system is developing where they're asking people, do you want to figure out a fee or pay the meter? Are you aware of that, and do you have a problem with it?
I am aware of it, and part of it is sticker shock, and part of it is just change in culture, which is something that we need to work on in terms of public education. So when, especially in neighborhoods where people were used to getting into illegal cars, their cost of doing business is much less than being licensed. They charge probably a lot less. But the customer had all those risks that are attendant with illegal service. You didn't really know who the driver was. You didn't really know how safe the vehicle was, and who knows what insurance is there. So what we're trying to do also is get people to understand that, you know, this is a licensed, metered, reliable service with avenues of redress that's in your neighborhood, and you deserve it. And sometimes that may mean they're paying a little bit more. Sometimes it means they're paying less. But oftentimes we find that it's more people getting used to paying something on the meter in a legal system where they were used to doing something completely illegal.
All right. Anything else you want to say, or do you want to predict when you'll come to an agreement with Lyft?
I really just want to sort of highlight that, you know, we enjoy the fact that so many innovative companies want to do business in New York. We look forward to further talks with them and to other companies that come here. And whatever the outcome, we'll just ensure that the passenger protections that need to be in place are in place.
New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission Chair Mira Joshi, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And also, if you have just one thing I just do want to mention, if people do have issues with street hail liveries or the green taxis off meter, they should definitely contact us. You can always call 311 about the green taxis or any other taxi issue you have.
Thanks so much.